Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey everyone, thanks so much for joining us on this mini-series in the Players Lounge podcast extra cover. We're calling it just to chat about a few topics that are hot in the world or just generally have a chat with Graham Swarm, former England international, who is broadcaster extraordinaire, dancer extraordinaire, and I mean, has had a pretty interesting career as well. We followed it, especially when he came to the Indian subcontinent. But Swanee, today, let's talk about heroes, you know, not just you, but childhood heroes. You must have, you're a hero to your kids now, you know, you must have grown up watching somebody. You must have wanted to emulate somebody when you first started this brilliant gentleman's game.
Well, I tell you what, I grew up in the 80s. First and foremost, hello, my auntie. I've missed you. It's been too long. And I've missed all of you guys listening as well. Thank you. Keep subscribing. Keep us going. We'll get through this somehow. Right. Yes. Growing up, I had a hero. Okay. I grew up in the mid to late 80s in England. And my hero was called Ian Terence Botham. All right. And I tell you why he was my hero. I was a kid, obviously, a little boy. What do you like as when you're a little boy? You like superheroes. You like people who are like, who can save the world. So I like Superman. I like the A-Team. I liked Batman. I didn't really like Spider-Man. Don't know why. But I liked Ian Botham because he could save the world. My problem was that I had a big brother. And so when I played cricket in the back garden, big brother used to choose who he'd be first. So he'd always say, I'm Ian Botham. So I never got to be my hero. So I had to choose another one. So my secondary hero, my backup guy, my sidekick was Alan Lamb. And I will forever love Alan Lamb. And I tell you what, Alan Lamb, real short guy, brilliant player of the pull shot, the hook shot. Hey, 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 Lammy, how's it going? And you know what? I was the luckiest kid ever because when I was only about 11 or 12 years old, Alan Lamb played for Northamptonshire as well. And I was a kid growing up in Northampton. My dad was a very, very good club cricketer. And could have played professionally had it paid more in the time, believe it or not. And I remember being at the county ground in Northampton. My dad was playing in some game or other. And Alan Lamb walked past me and goes, "Hey, hey, little Swanny, how's it going?" As an 11-year-old, my hero knew who I was. I've no idea how. He'd probably just ask, "Who's that kid over there?" "Oh, that's Swanny's kid." All right. And as he walked past, he said hello. I was in awe. And so from that moment, Ian Botham was no longer my hero. Alan Lamb was firmly number one.
But that is legend. Such a cool story. That's really an exceptional story. I really wonder, I'm sure, Swanee, you must have somehow been able to replicate that to someone else when you started playing international cricket. You must have had a moment. Like, what's your biggest fan moment where someone's come up to you and be like, "You're my hero, Swanee. I want to be you."
Well, I'll tell you what it did do that moment was make me always give time for kids. You know, always have the time to say hello, to just give it a little thumbs up. So whenever I went to a game of cricket, and whenever I was fielding especially, or as you're walking in, you get loads of people asking for your autograph, say hi, do this, do that. And a lot of people are quite rude when they do it. There's a lot of professional autograph hunters and things like that. And you always try and be polite to them. But if there are any kids there, I always think kids are there because their heart has got them there. They love this game. They love you as a cricket player. So I'd always go out of my way to have a little word to them, to pat them on the head. You know, "What do you do, mate? Are you a spin bowler?" If they said they're a fast bowler, I'd say, "Look, give it up now. Bowl spin. It's the future. You have to be stupid to bowl fast. You have to be thick in the head. Stop it. You have to be lazy to be a batsman. Be a spinner. This is the way." Or just make them laugh because of that moment with me from Alan Lamb just saying, "How's it, Neil Swanee?" I always think, give kids the time of day. So I always went out of my way to do that. Interestingly, the kids who I knew when I was playing professional cricket who have gone on to great things were the Curran brothers. So when I first played at Northampton, when I was 17, 18 years old, my first professional contract, Kevin Curran was the captain of Northamptonshire. And I'll never forget this young lad, Tom, and his brother, Ben. So this is before Sam was even born. This just makes me feel old. But little Tom, who was only 3 or 4 years old, and he'd come to the ground every day, and he was quite a shy kid. Good-looking little kid, because he's a good-looking bloke now. KC was a good-looking fella, but just there in the changing, sort of looking around, pensively sort of trying to... And Ben, who now plays for Northampton, his little brother, who was like younger and a bit wild-eyed and like looking around, looking to create mayhem. And I remember saying to them, like, you'll be amazing one day. Tom Curran, Kevin used to take him down with a golf club, and he could hit this golf ball 50 yards as a four-year-old. And I thought he'd be the next Tiger Woods. And I didn't see because my career moved on. Kevin passed away, sadly, and the boys, they'd moved back to Zimbabwe, and then they went to Winchester. I didn't see the Curran brothers again. In fact, Tom again. I've still not met Ben again, but Sam and Tom were at the England Academy, or England A team at Loughborough, and I was asked down to coach some of the spin bowlers back in the day when the ECB trusted me to talk to their spin bowlers, when they took spin seriously. That's another issue.
That's another story.
And the Curran brothers were there, and I felt a little bit nervous because I thought, do I just walk over there and say, "Hi, how you doing? I remember when you were this big," or whatever. Uh-huh. And I could see them both looking over, sort of nervously smiling. And I went over in the end. I went, "Hello, boys. I don't know if you remember me. In fact, Sam, never met you. But Tom, I don't know if you remember when you were a little kid. But your dad was my first captain. And I'm sorry to hear he passed away. What a hero your dad was." And he straight away said, "Oh, I remember being in the change room. Yeah, how are you doing?" Sort of thumbs up. And that made me think, Jesus, that kid who was 3 or 4 hitting golf club is now playing for England. And his baby brother, who wasn't even born, is now smashing it in the IPL. Smashing it for England. So I think it's brilliant, things like that, and the fact that he remembered me as a young lad. So hopefully one day my son can just go up to give Tom Curran a pat on the shoulder and say, do you remember my dad when Wilf's playing for England? That'd be cool.
But your son is a big fan of Uncle Jimmy, is he not? Is Uncle Jimmy his hero?
Uncle Jimmy was his hero. So yeah, thanks for this. The story behind this is that I always tried to teach, when he was younger, I tried to coach Wilf how to bowl spin, and he never listened to me, ever. It was, "Oh, get off, Dad, I don't want to play cricket, I like Xbox." But then one day I came downstairs and he had YouTube on and he was watching Jimmy Anderson, or Uncle Jimmy as he knows him, bowling over and over. And he went into the garden and said, "Watch this, Dad," and he could bowl. In fact, weirdly, he watched Jimmy bowl loads and then bowled perfect leg spin in the garden. So I don't know what clip he was watching. But that was, yeah, that was when, you know, I think every dad goes through that, when you hope your son thinks you're a superhero and you realise that he thinks your mates are, but not you. But my auntie, it's not just about me, though. Come on, you must have had a hero growing up. I mean, you married your hero, obviously. That goes without saying.
Did you
have a sporting hero growing up?
No, I didn't, because I came into sports broadcast by complete accident. But before I get into that story, since you mentioned it, since you brought up like Stuart, I think there's an amazing story which he had mentioned to us when he joined us on the podcast, was that, you know, Stuart Binney obviously emulated Roger Binney, World Cup winner, India's first ever World Cup winning team. And, you know, to have your dad as your hero, to have that World Cup stump as you've grown up, and you don't really know if you're ever going to emulate your dad and become a test cricketer, but he did that. You know, Stuart managed to achieve that. But this beautiful full circle moment, your current brother story reminded me that, when Roger Binney was captain of Karnataka, which is the state that they play for, he would pick up a young Rahul Dravid and, you know, drive him to practice and drop him back home. And he was captain of Rahul Dravid. And then when Rahul Dravid was captain of Karnataka, he would pick up a young Stuart Binney and drop him back home. So it's beautiful. And even with Rajasthan Royals, Rahul captained Stuart for some time. So, you know, that circle in a way just kind of continued. And look, I mean, we have a son now. He's not even a year old. We don't know if he'll ever play cricket. Everyone wants him to be a third generation.
Of course they do, yeah.
You know, we don't know what will happen, but I think it is very beautiful when those moments do come together. Yeah. But no, Swanee, look, I got into this.
I'll tell you what I want to know, though. What I'll ask you is, because India and cricket go hand in hand,
for
especially
sure.
Now, the IPR, every one of those players now is a superstar in India, and you can't go anywhere and all the players are recognisable. Was it the same level of fandom and superstardom when you were a girl growing up? Did you know like the Kapil Devs and the Ravi Shastris of the world?
No, because I was born after the World Cup win. So my family wasn't really into cricket, surprisingly. We were like the minority that didn't really follow. And it was very different in the 80s. So you mentioned Ian Botham. So Ian Botham and Kapil Dev and, you know, Wasim Akram and Imran Khan, Richard Hadley, these were the kind of those all-rounders that were kind of, you know, a generation of great all-rounders. And these are stories that I hear now. And now I get to work with the Kapil Devs and the Sunil Gavaskars and, you know, I'm married into the family that has a World Cup winner at home. So I have kind of learned all of this now in the past 5 or 6 years. But of course, everyone was cricket crazy. So I grew up in the generation of, you know, the Sachins and the Rahuls and the Gangulis. And, you know, that when we were in school, those were the people that, and the Virendra Sehwags, you know, those were the cricketers that we used to watch. So it was a very surreal moment for me, because when I did eventually start doing cricket, or was forced to do cricket, that's another story. And next thing you know, in a couple of years, you are being able to interview people like Sachin and Saurav and these Virendra Sehwag and these Rahul Dravid, VVS Lakshman. That was the generation that my generation, you know, grew up admiring. So in a way, that was kind of amazing. But look, I came into it as a broadcaster, right? I've never played cricket, Swanee. So I would say if I had to look up to anyone, I used to love watching John Dykes, because I was into football. And I would watch football and John Dykes and the way that he would present the game. And I was just like, this is amazing. And I had a chance, this was in school, so I'd watch a lot of football, which in India would come at like 1 a.m. and 2 a.m. because no one really watched Premier League or, you know, La Liga or Champions League for that matter. And I would watch him present. And I never knew that I would have this career. And I started with football. And next thing you know, I got a chance to host the 2010 Football World Cup. And I was like a new anchor. And guess who I was sharing responsibility with?
Johnny boy.
So I go all the way to Singapore, and it's not even like we're co-hosts, okay? Like, I have to handle two matches, and he's got to handle two matches. So it's the same level of responsibility. And that was the most surreal moment for me in my life. It taught me two things. One was that, you know what, I could be good enough to host a World Cup.
Yes.
You know? It doesn't matter that I'm in my 20s or whatever. This is a responsibility. It doesn't matter if you're a girl or a guy. It doesn't matter. They want you to host a World Cup, so do it. And the second was, when John Dykes met me, he said, hey, Mayati, how are you doing? I've heard, Alan Wilkins has told me such great things about you, and, you know, I've been wanting to meet you. And I'm like, but you're John Dykes. I've been wanting to meet you. You don't want to meet me? Are you kidding me? It taught me that humility in this industry is the one that is going to get you really far. Because even if you meet John now, or if you meet an Alan Wilkins, and I admired both of them. And Alan Wilkins I worked with the 2012 Olympics. They are so humble. Their humility is, they're the best in the world. It doesn't matter which country you're from. They're just plain simply the best in the world. Same, and Nasser and Swanee, you know. These are people as broadcasters that I have just admired. And they're just so down to earth, you know. That's what I wanted to emulate. Those were like the hero qualities that I saw.
I've told you the story before about Viv Richards, haven't I, about broadcasting. So obviously Viv was enormous in world cricket. He was the same era as Ian Botham. He was this superhero from the West Indies. And let's face it, the coolest man alive. Still is. Viv is an absolute legend. And the first time I ever commentated after my playing career came to an abrupt end. So I was still a bit grumpy and I still think I should have been playing. I was angry at my arm for giving up on me and all this. I remember going to the West Indies. There are worse places to start your commentating career than the West Indies, I'll give you
Fair
that.
Enough. Yeah.
And I walked into this little commentary booth to do the first. I was bowling first change, basically. So the openers were there doing the first 10 overs, whatever, and I took over. And as I walked in, Viv Richards was there and he stood up and I had a Fred Perry shirt on and he had a Fred Perry shirt as well. And he fist bumped me that I wasn't comfortable with, but he fist bumped me and just said, great shirt, man. And walked out. Honestly, I was like an absolute fanboy. I was giddy. I was giggling all the way through my first 5 overs of commentary.
You got the Viv Richards stamp of cool.
Yeah. I got for my Fred Perry shirt, I got a fist bump. Oh my, Vivian Richards, for God's sake. What a legend.
That is crazy. I told you I was forced to do cricket, right? Because I started my career with football and that's where I was comfortable. And I knew who the cricketers were, but I never watched cricket. And we started with the ICL, which was before IPL. And my network said, look, it was plain and simple. They wanted a girl to host and they couldn't find one. And they're like, you have to do it. You know, we're paying you, so go do it.
Put your football boots away.
They're just like, you don't have a choice. So you want a job or not? No. It ended up being life-changing because that's where I met Stuart. You know, Stuart was playing in the ICL. That was at that stage, the Rebel League. But more importantly, Swanee, that is where I got my crash course in broadcast from Tony Gregg and Dean Jones.
Yes.
And I walk into this broadcast center and Jeff Thompson was also there, you know. So you have Tony Gregg, Dean Jones, Jeff Thompson, and they were so nice. They didn't have to be nice to me, Swanee. They could have just been like, listen, we've been there, done that. And who's this young girl? You know, this 20-year-old, I don't even remember, maybe I was 24. Who's this 24-year-old who is supposed to host the show? You know, we're the guys who know. She didn't even know the game. They were not like that. And they were so helpful. Tony Gregg was the greatest. He would literally just make these little notes and he would be like, Mayati, every day I want you to work a little bit on this and work a little bit on that. And he never treated me as a female presenter. I don't know what other people's experience have been, but he's like, you are a sports presenter. And this is what I expect out of you, male or female. And come on, I mean, Dino, he's watched my career from the start of, you know, cricket to then finally hosting IPL with him. So over 12 years, I had a chance to work with Dino here and there. And he just set the tone with reinventing broadcast and commentary and making it fun. And it must have been great because he always had a little bit of fun about the Ashes and brought Australia into it a bit. These were the people that I started my career with. I mean, how fortunate am I to have been able to have had that experience so early on?
Yeah. Well, I think you are. But, you know, I think everyone in sport has these. And when you play sport, it opens these doors. And I always say this, that the things that have happened in my life because I played cricket, because I played my sport for England and ended up doing well, is I have to pinch myself sometimes. So when my kids ask, they take it completely for granted when we do these things, when we meet these people, who other people who are amazed by. And when people ask me for my autograph, my youngest daughter still looks up and goes, "Huh?
Who are you?
What?" Yeah. But I always say to my son, and I say, look, if you want this, it's the best life you can have. And if you want this and are willing to work hard enough, you can have this. Because I truly believe that anyone can have it. That there's a certain amount of talent that players have, but the people who go on to play professionally and play and be superstars are the ones who just work harder than anyone else. So I always say, like, kids, you can have this. And I would highly recommend it. I'm sure you would. It's an amazing life to work with your heroes, people you've admired. And whatever field you're in, whatever, whether it's sport, whether it's business, whatever, if you're up and coming, like, do have heroes and emulate them and take advice from them, because one day you'll be alongside or surpassing them. And it's an amazing feeling.
That's the thing. If you surpass your hero, I mean, I think nothing could be greater than that. But Sony, you know, not everyone gets to meet their hero in a sense. And sometimes you just get a chance to see what you see on the screen. Do you feel that's enough to, you know, take one element away from that person and model your whole self on what you see? Because that's not the entire story in a way. You know what I mean?
Well, that's absolutely. So the good presenters, the good players are the ones who are role models, who you see on screen and you build up a persona of what you imagine them to be. There's the famous thing that you should never meet your heroes because sometimes they're a massive letdown, which happens every now and again, it does. But, you know, something I've always strived to be is if someone meets me, I'm louder than life on TV, but I am that in real life. I don't try and be someone I'm not on TV. I don't want anyone to walk away from meeting me going, "God, what a dull as dishwater idiot he was." I'm sure people have done, especially in the morning before I've had my breakfast. I'm very dull and very grumpy. But only my wife knows that.
I've never seen it. No. In fact, Sonia, I've got to say, I still at times pinch myself because I do my research, okay? So I Google you guys before we get a chance to work with you. And I remember, I don't think you were playing the 2012 series, India-England, right? And I was kind of let go in the middle of that series because they were just trying something new with presenters. So I did do one test. I can't remember. I think Ahmedabad, maybe. I can't really remember where I was. But of course, saw you play, you know? So saw you guys be part of that series and then was let go in the middle of the series. But a couple of years later, to get a chance to work with someone who you've seen on the field still is a very surreal thing.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. You're making me blush here. This is great. Carry on.
Well, in a way, it's because I'm not someone who grew up with favorites. You know, I never had this is the only sport, this is the only person. I'm just like that in life. I don't have favorites. Yeah. But you do admire. Because I being married to a cricketer, I know what it takes to be able to represent your nation and do it on the biggest stage there is. And that's why I respect Test cricket so much. And what you guys did in that series, even though I'm Indian, I respected it tremendously. You know, I applauded you for what you did. So then to have that chance to work with you, and let me just tell you, so here, you know, dear listeners, viewers, so that's the perception I have of Prem Swan, you know, because as an Indian, that 2012 series, you really remember that series, okay? Like it's deep set, especially if you've had a chance to work on it as a broadcaster. There's no getting away from it. And the next thing you know, this man is waltzing and dancing in the studio and he's like, "Oh, I got your hair like that." I'm like, "Hang on, is that Prem Swan?" Dial back a little bit. Really? Was that the same guy? But that's what happens sometimes when you meet all these incredible cricketers, that, including yourself, that I had a chance to work with. I mean, Brian Lara, Swanee, he is like the most...
He's cool, isn't he Brian?
He is so cool. And he's Brian Lara, you know? Just sneak in and he'd be like reading over your shoulder. "Okay, is that what we're discussing? Okay, nice. Just let me know. You handle it, right?" Brian Charles Lara.
I know. It's great, isn't it? I mean, we always joke about that. Like when we're doing the select dugout, so sat there with Brian Lara, with Brett Lee, and, you know, Scotty Styris is there as well.
Got to mention Scotty.
I was to Corky. All right, Dom, Dominic Cork. And Cork, he was a test player in his own right, a really brilliant cricketer. Yeah. But I think he generally feels like, oh, I'm not in the right company here with Lara and Brett Lee. And I would say the difference between me and Cork is I genuinely say I am in the right company. This is where I belong. Even if no one else agrees, I think so. I've loved this episode, man. It's been fun.
It has been a lot of fun. Sonny, thanks so much for joining us. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as we did, of course, in this Extra Colour mini-series that we're doing. We want you to chime in. Send us some suggestions as to what you'd like us to chat about. Of course, subscribe to us on social media. Subscribe to our channel. You'll get more information there. Sonny, thank you. You've always been a pleasure to work with. And may you stay the hero that you are for so many people.
You are my hero, Manti. Love you. Bye.
You're somebody's hero. No. Bye, Swanee. Thank you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.